Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And since like most of our regular crew is out because they're like sick or lazy, whatever, potato, potato, we've mixed it up and we have some other people with us today, which is awesome. And so let's just meet. Who has shown up today? And well, let's start with Kelly. It has been so long since I have seen you here on the British Tech Network. How are you?
Not too bad. It has been a minute, hasn't it?
It has. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We still use minutes, right? That's still a measure of time. Like, none of it makes sense anymore, so I can't be sure.
Well, we use minutes everywhere in the world except the United States, where we refuse to use standard measurements. So it's been a banana.
Okay.
So it's kilominutes in the rest of the world, and then we just use like weird imperial measurements.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have you here.
It's lovely to be here.
And doing a total crossover today from the Mac Show. Dave, how are you?
Well, great. I mean, yeah, it's been like a week since I've been here last, but not the show. I saw you guys were going to do a show today. I got a little extra time while at work, and I figured I'd jump in and join the party.
Well, it's great to have
very
you
nice.
Here. Yeah. And Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. The weather is beautiful here in Vienna. Still doesn't feel like winter is coming, but I know it's coming. Christmas markets are starting off this weekend, actually, in Vienna. There is a ton of them. I got from the local, like the local, like public transportation company, I got like an Instagram thingy where they showed, oh, here's like a map of Vienna with all the, like the you know, we have proper public transport, like metros and trams and buses and all of that. So they were like, here's our map and here's all the like markets and when they're starting. And I'm like, wow, that's like probably like 40, 30, I don't know, something like that, Christmas markets all around Vienna.
Wow.
So like, that's very cool. And there's some big ones and some small ones for sure. But I'm like, that's crazy. So it's starting. Christmas is coming here. We don't have Thanksgiving. So they started August. So.
We do have Thanksgiving and they start in August here too.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah, it's true.
Hey, Patrice, thank you for running the shows last week while I was out. You rock.
I'm not going to lie. It was a bit stressful. I mean, I wasn't prepared at all for it. And I was like, and then the stream wasn't working. And like, we managed. It was okay. But I'm very happy that you're back.
Well, I'm glad to be back. And just, you know, I just call that Thursday.
That's true. I mean, on the plus side, I got to surprise some people with like having them tell our listeners about the chat, and the results were sometimes surprisingly good and sometimes hilarious.
I'll go on the side of hilarious on my
That's awesome. I haven't had a chance to check out last week's shows, but
you should. It was fun.
I think I need to. Yeah.
And because I didn't tell anybody about that before, I was just like, hey, I'm talking too much. It's someone else talk.
She saw my face when she asked me.
I love it.
But then you did it. Like,
I did so fine.
Okay. Yeah, you did okay. It was all right.
Exactly.
Well, considering the bar that I set, I'm sure you did great. Yeah. Tom, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Jeff. I'm in a remote undisclosed location for security purposes.
Witness protection program. Yep,
witness
yep.
protection. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, the our neighbors across the street rebuilt their house, and the house has been rebuilt since April. It is now October, and they've been waiting 6 months for PG&E, our local utility company, to hook up power to their house.
Wow.
6 months. This is attempt number three, appointment number three. In the last two previous attempts, the morning of, PG&E sends out a notice, sorry, we can't do it today.
That is so messed up. So 6 months they've been waiting.
So
no, they don't have any power.
So they probably send a notice like, "Oh, we're coming somewhere Monday till Friday between 7 and 10 p.m. And then they send like
somewhere between April and October.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, "Oh no, sorry, we meant between April and October."
Well, it's kind of worse than that because you think it's going to happen, and they have to shut down the whole street, so everybody on the street has to plan. You know, with the power out, your cable's going to be out. You're not going to have internet. People make plans, and then that morning at 7 o'clock, they say, "Oh, by the way, never mind."
Yeah, I had that happen for my internet twice, where they said, "Oh, you were sending someone to like install your fiber and all of that," and then nothing, not even a communication. And then I check the app, and it says the appointment's just gone. It's like, what happened? Like, and, I don't know, just gone. And then I called them, and they're like, "Oh yeah, that they couldn't do it, and they just canceled it." Didn't even tell me.
Well, the good news is there were actually worker trucks out there this morning, so it looks like they're going to get it done for the.
Nice.
Very nice.
Ooh.
All right. Now, other end of the spectrum for dealing with stuff like that, municipal broadband, where I live now, I called the city on the phone and said, "Hey, what do I need to do to get set up?" And the guy's like, "Well, just give me some info." And he types some stuff in the computer and he says, "You know, we're like maybe a 10-minute drive from where you are. So if you want to swing by and pick up your equipment, and you clearly know enough about this that you can set it up yourself, you can just do it." Because otherwise, they would have sent someone out and brought the equipment to me and plugged it in. But I said, "No, that's fine. I'll drive over." So from the time I called to the time that I had synchronous gigabit fiber was like an hour.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
That's amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. Yep. And it would have been faster, except that when I plugged everything in, the lights on their little modem lit up, except for the one that said I had an active connection. So I called them and I'm like, "Hey, here's what's going on. And here's everything I did." And I did all the right stuff. And the guy says, "Yeah, you clearly know what you're doing. And hold on, let me check something." And he comes back and he says, "Okay. So the problem was your order was set and there's one last button that needs to be clicked to activate everything that hadn't been done. It's been done now. Hold on a second." And he says, your light should turn on now. And boom, the other light turned on.
Nice. That's so funny.
And
I think the technician they sent to me, then it took him an hour to fix the connection because it's a new building and the people who put in the fiber had done it wrong. They put it in the wrong, it's documented somewhere in the system. Okay, it's like whatever this slot exactly, that's the connection to my apartment and whatever, and it was not in that slot, and that was the problem.
I can see. So where
it took him an hour to fix that. He did so, and then it worked.
And we lost Tom, which could be something like his internet is gone, or maybe. Maybe
the FBI the witness protection officers, whatever they're called, they came by and took him to another location because now he's clearly compromised now.
Yes.
On air.
Yep. It was and he's unit. Trying to join us again. Too much. I can't wait to see if this works out. We're counting on you, Tom.
Oh, there he is.
Welcome
back.
Sorry.
All right. So, Tom, while you were gone, what you missed was your connection dropped out. We made fun of you, and then you were back.
Sounds about right.
All right. Well, since it's the big show, and I'm pretty sure I remember how this one works, everyone comes with stories. So who has the first story for today? Kelly, just so you know, the way this works, when... drop the link to your story into the live chat, and then I just take them in chronological order.
Okay.
So who's going to go first?
And I'm just going to sit here. This is like exciting.
This is exciting. Who's going to risk it and go first? No.
Well, you just took all the time to explain it to me, so I can go first.
Okay.
Chamberlain, in what will come as a surprise to approximately no one, is continuing to endumbin their, I hope I'm pronouncing these quotes correctly, smart garage door opener. If you have something that uses a MyQ technology, and I know technology is doing a lot of work there, because I have one, that's how I know. They have shut off all unauthorized access to the APIs. So that means me, because I have always had a hard time getting their app to work correctly when I've tried to use it on my phone. And then after a while, because I bought a thing that was like, we can use this to talk to the Wi-Fi and then mm-hmm. it will boss around your garage door opener. It was like this.
Yeah, yeah. There was this extra box that you had to buy.
Yeah. And then later, they came out with one that was HomeKit friendly. So mm-hmm. I could just pick up my arm and say, "Hey, lady, open the garage door," and she would do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they
shut that down. Like,
yeah, they killed all of that
point.
A year ago, I think it was. Mm-hmm. They decided HomeKit was hard, and so then they quit. that may or may not be a direct quote. Mm-hmm. Can you tell? I have a lot to say about this. And now. In the interest of fairness, I have a lot of English is really straining right now as I try to explain this to people. They also killed off Google Assistant. They decided that was also apparently way too complicated, and so they killed it too. And so then they said they've killed all the API access, full stop. And the CTO of Chamberlain said, this is so that they can continue to provide the best possible experience. And I think his definition of best and my definition of best are very different, because mm-hmm. all I ever wanted to do was open the app and push the big open button in the middle of the app and have the door open. And it was, on a good day, it was like 50-50 if it worked the first time I tried.
Mm-hmm.
So this word best does not mean what he thinks it means.
No.
Correct. But you know, but here's the thing I have noticed about every time I open the garage door app. It says we integrate with Amazon nonsense and we can have people put stuff in your garage for you. And mm-hmm. I have a response for that that I will not say on this show.
Heck no.
It is four letters and it does end with a K. but the answer was, but yes.
Punk, the, right? That's the word.
Yes. My opinion, yep. My assessment of this entire situation falls pretty firmly in the category of words my mom doesn't think I know. Mm-hmm. They claim, as most people do when they turn off APIs, they claim that the API access was causing an awful lot of traffic and it was, you know, making it a bad experience for other people. And in reality, I think what it is that they were not able to advertise to me about how I could add a ring to it, how I could subscribe to some other sort of nonsense, how they have a camera that integrates with the garage door opener. And part of the reason this is irritating is because it's also, who's the other one? LiftMaster. Is the other mm-hmm. one that mm-hmm. uses the MyQ stuff. So
yes.
if you're thinking, haha, Kelly, I was smart and bought all the LiftMaster stuff, wrong, because you are now also officially screwed. The good news is...
Wait, there's good news?
There's
that is a surprise.
Well, the good news is you're not completely high and or dry as a result of them doing this. And that is because... you can buy other there are other options that will ensmarten your garage door opener in the actual way that I mean ensmarten, and not the way that the CTO of Chamberlain means it. There is a thing, and so I'm reading, I'm reporting this, the link we're going to use in the show notes is from The Verge, and The Verge has solved this the same way lots of other people have, who I know, who have come up against this themselves, because, you know, like fools, they thought if I buy the smart thing for my garage door opener, my garage door opener will be smart. Ha ha! I'll show you, said Chamberlain. But there is a device from a company called Meross. It's MEROSS. And they have a smart door thing. Because if you had trouble with the Chamberlain app, and then called tech support and said, I can never get the Chamberlain app to work. And they said, you should just use the LiftMaster app, which is the, what if the Chamberlain app, which is all blue, was red, but it's literally exactly the same app. You can try that and see if that works. And then when that still doesn't work, you end up looking at the Raspberry Pi that's been sitting on your desk. And, you know, an hour later, you have a Homebridge set up that works really well. And so this takes Homebridge away. If that was the thing you were using, the whole third-party API thing is like Homebridge, Home Assistant. If you were using that stuff to solve your problem, then those are now broken, and it really sucks. Now, in all honesty, like, there were times they broke before because Chamberlain found out people were actually able to make their garage doors smart and decided to put skids to it. So there have been API changes in the past that have caused problems as well, because all of this was sort of unofficial access. But you can buy, I think it's like a $50 thingy, like that, to be technical, from Meross that makes it smart. And I know a non-zero number of people who've purchased these, and they are, and everyone says, like, I got it and I plugged it all in and set it all up, and now, like, I don't have trouble with anything anymore. So you do still have options for a smart garage door opener. But if, you know, if like me, you read the box that said, you know, you can do all of this with the mobile app and everything will work and it'll all be great, and you were absolutely lied to, you can still make this possible. You can still make this happen. It is a possible.
Or you bought the extra box that they sold for a little while and now it stopped working, which is, I think, also really frustrating. I mean, and it's not as if like Chamberlain or LiftMaster are like small niche companies that nobody is basically using. I mean, I think they're basically, I don't know what the percentage is, but I would say north of 60-70% of the market.
Basically all of them, almost. Like, sort of like there are other mobile tablets, you know, but whatever it is, everybody calls it an iPad. It's the same kind of deal. Like most, because between Chamberlain and LiftMaster, because I think the Craft, if you have a Craftsman garage door opener, I think that's actually one of the other ones that's just branded Craftsman. That's the same sort of thing. And it's super frustrating when it doesn't work. And even if you, like, I bought the less expensive one because it was like, this doesn't do all of the Amazon stuff. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't need to spend that much money on the other thing. So I bought one of those. And then, like, the one we had quit working. And so they had a really good deal on, like, the new one that did HomeKit. So now I have two of these things.
That you can't use.
Two of these melon farmers that are now little useless doorstop hunks of plastic. They're not even heavy enough to be doorstop, so they're not even helpful for that.
I think they still work with the, like, just the remote, right? That still works, but you can't use them for what you wanted them to use them.
Yeah, allegedly the reason you have those is because then you can boss your door around with the app. Au contraire.
That was so cool. Like, when I remember when HomeKit introduced like the garage door stuff, and I could drive and CarPlay, and I could drive away from the house and it would close the garage, and I would drive up to it and it would open it. And that was so good when it worked.
Yeah. And like having it just work, but also being able to, like, if we are, like, if I'm doing stuff in the backyard and I need to get into the garage for something, like, I could just walk up the side of the house and go, hey, lady, open the door. And then it was open when I got around the corner, but I didn't have to worry about it, about leaving it open. And then getting notifications when I wasn't home if the door opened or closed was also really nice. Because at one point, we were on vacation somewhere, and my phone went off, and Mr. Kelly's phone went off, and I looked at my phone and it said garage door opened, and we're standing in Disneyland. And I looked at him and he looked at me and I said, did your parents put the mail in the garage or something? And he's like, I don't know. I didn't think they were going to go over there today. And so then a couple minutes later, we got a text from my father-in-law that was like, we were in the neighborhood. We stopped and picked up the mail and put it in the garage for you. And I was like, whew. But like, it's really good to be able to tell that kind of stuff, yeah, which is the 100%. Reason I was glad to have the app. It was nice not to have to have an extra remote or anything, but the app made that information really useful and not anymore. So
yeah, but that was too useful. Mm-hmm. It's not allowed.
All of a sudden I was able to do everything. Yeah, it made my life better and Chamberlain disagreed. Yeah.
You know, before I moved into my new place, I did a purge of a lot of stuff. And one of my purge trips was the box that was full of all of the smart home devices that no longer work. Not because the device itself had died, but because the company, the service, whatever, was gone.
Let me guess. It wasn't a box. It was a full-on truck.
It was a pretty big box, yeah.
It was a box truck, you know.
One of box truck, like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, full on stuff. I took all that off to the hard to recycle place, and just got rid of it. And it had switches and cameras and bulbs and all this stuff that still work. Well, would work if it was supported by someone, and. And now I'm just sitting here knowing I'm on borrowed time with my Harmony remote because Logitech has dropped all support for that.
They have forsaken it.
Yeah. Yeah. So at some point, Logitech is going to just shut off the server that allows Harmony to work. And that's it.
I'm surprised they haven't already.
The thing I'm surprised the most about is that there's not a new one. That nobody has come up with the alternative, like once you can't do anything with your Harmony remote anymore, like I guess I'll have to go buy this other one, you know, that's kind of expensive and I didn't want to until I needed one. But like if I needed one today, there's nothing to replace the Harmony. If I was starting from fresh right now, you know, bought my first house, I got a TV, I've got an Apple TV, I've got some other stuff connected, you know, and I want to be able to control all of that easily and configure all of that easily. I am out of luck unless someone out of the goodness of their heart sells me something that Logitech hasn't supported in several years.
Yep.
That's the part that kills me. And I remember, Jeff, you and I have talked about a lot of stuff on a lot of podcasts, but I remember specifically talking to you about HomeKit, smart home stuff, and things to be aware of. And that was one of the things, was like, make sure you get something from, you know, from a legitimate company that you've actually heard of that might have a history, because you don't want it to evaporate in the night. Well, guess what?
Even those evaporate in the night.
Some of those are gone too. Yeah.
But the company is still there. They're just gone basically from the market because they clearly don't care.
They got bored and wandered off. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? So who's also bored?
Patrice, please tell me.
Yeah, there's also someone who's bored and wandering off with $18.6 billion in debt, and that is WeWork. So they filed Chapter 11 this week. You might have heard of WeWork. What was that show called? There was a TV show.
Upwork. Yeah.
Upwork?
That was a movie.
Yeah.
There was a TV show. I don't remember. There's a whole TV show.
We crashed.
We crashed. Yes, exactly. Yeah. That was the one.
On TV Plus. Yeah, Apple TV.
Yeah, exactly. So actually, by the way, also a good show. That kind of showed that, let's say, very turbulent time that ended with the failed IPO. I think it was 2019. Failed IPO, and then the founder Adam Neumann leaving and all of that. But yeah, they have about $15 billion in assets according to their petition. They have about $18.6 billion in debt. That's a problem. It's crazy, like the numbers, like they were valued at $47 billion at some point. Raised about $22 billion with a B over time. 777 locations in 39 countries.
Yeah.
So that is a lot. By the way, it's also only the US and Canada who are part of this this Chapter 11. So India and other countries are safe because they're kind of they're isolated. Yeah. It's individual companies.
But Chapter 11 is that's reorganization, right?
It's a reorganization.
So yeah, they're actually going to try to reorganize.
They're going to try and pull it out.
The stupidest idea in the zero interest rate era.
Yeah.
So the stupidest, person running it, who's still rich, by the way.
I mean, I think WeWork in general was a good idea, and it was successful for a while. They just like completely screwed it up.
I'm not sure financially it was successful, Patrice. I don't know business model ever would ever work given the challenges and the capital that was needed to buy all that office.
It worked in some cases and it didn't work in others, and that was part of the problem. So they weren't able to get rid of the low performing properties because they signed leases that were crazy long, like 10, 20, 30 year leases.
Because nobody would want them, because everybody knew the point of WeWork was, you know, temporary. So that was the only way they could get anyone's attention is we promise we will be here for 10 years, regardless of how many people are in the building. And, you know,
that's why they wouldn't have gotten any leases if they didn't sign the 10 or 20 year leases.
I wouldn't say that. It was their strategy to get a 10, like a 20, 30 year lease really cheap.
Yeah,
and then like make money, and I've seen it work, and it works in some countries. The problem is like if you can structure it in a way that like all your locations or at least most of your locations are profitable, then long term it's not going to work because like you're always going to lose money.
I guess I'm just more pessimistic about it because that model's been tried before, at least in the US. We had Regus. Do you guys remember Regus?
I do remember.
They've been plenty. But instead, WeWork was working. I mean,
basically,
one...
it's WeWork or it's Regus with an app, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I have a co-working space here, and it's quite popular. Yeah. So, they figured out ways to do it. Like it's because it's not just it's not an office that you go to. It's like a like a social place you go to. Like you network. Yeah. There's events they do all the time. There's stuff happening. Like there's a community here, like a startup community and like a entrepreneur community in general that goes there. Mm-hmm. It can work, but they just completely messed it up because they were getting too big too quickly and just it wasn't working.
That's the thing, is it's a good idea to have office space for people who need office space temporarily or not every day. You know, I only need to go somewhere on Tuesdays because whatever, you know, like
Or you have a meeting with a client, you want to do it in a nice environment, like that looks professional, so not your bedroom,
exactly,
or a garage or whatever,
or you know, looking at the closet behind me full of equipment, and smart home boxing.
So it can work, but as I said, the problem was they just completely messed it up because I mean it was mismanagement in general.
Yeah.
Well, and I think what you guys are talking about is a pretty small scale, and WeWork just went way overboard in terms
they
of
wanted
how much
to be like
they bought
Starbucks, and they were not ready to be Starbucks even when the free world wanted that. Even the demand available for it at that time.
Yeah. They hadn't figured out how to make it like successful with like one or two or three locations and make it profitable, and they were scaling up. And then the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
And the whole shift of an industry where people just don't want to go to the office anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even for co-working spaces like that, even they suffer a little bit from that because people are just like,
they
got
a lot.
Used to the home.
Yeah. Because a lot of people, you know, nobody went anywhere for a while, first of all. And then, you know, even people who do, like maybe it's one day a week or 2 days a week sometimes, and it's not necessarily, you know, all the time. So, like, there are still services out there who do similar things. If you look where you are, I'm sure you can find places that are doing it. But
And WeWork will continue to do so, just with less locations. I think this is what this Chapter 11 is about. They want to break leases.
Mm-hmm.
Which they couldn't before, but now they can say, well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The big news for me out of this isn't that they just filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy. It's that it hadn't happened a long time ago.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Wait, there's still WeWork? Like, yeah.
Yeah, that is definitely true. I mean, it should, but it shows you the time that this company grew up in. Mm-hmm. Money was like available for nothing or cheap. Everybody was investing like crazy into like anything that like someone could sell you to. And Newman was, we've seen, he was that type of character who could, I mean, he could sell you whatever, the paint off a wall, like used paint. He would sell it to you. Yeah. He was the type of person who could do that. So
the WeWork location in Boulder, they completed it. It's mm-hmm. fully done. Has all the furniture in it. It has the little bar with the drink mm-hmm. machine in it, plants, everything. And they finished it shortly before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And to the best of my knowledge, it has sat vacant. Like it's mm-hmm. been, it was finished, and now for years it has sat vacant, completely unused.
Yeah, that's always a surprise. I said, like that is a problem for, I think, in the entire industry, not just the like co-working spaces, like mm-hmm. offices in general have a problem with that. But yeah, it's not a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. yeah, it's going to continue, but with a much smaller footprint. Yeah, but I mean, I think one thing that is interesting is that the board basically is still in. So they mm-hmm. like they converted even some stuff into equity. They're like, okay, we want to keep going. So as I said, and some locations are profitable, like especially in New York, from what I've heard, is quite successful.
Mm-hmm.
Like the original location made it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think San Francisco as well, for example.
I'm sure if you did it at the right scale with the right kind of leases and so on, you could do it, but it's probably.
And in the right community, like with the right environment.
That's the other thing is it needs to be local, I think. Somebody trying to do it on a nationwide scale or on a global scale, like I don't see that working for a bunch of reasons. Like it's not necessarily something that scales. Like there's a place here, there's a service, I think it's here in the Bay Area or about to be in the Bay Area. And you can work in neighborhoods. There's people that mm-hmm. have like nice. An office space, you know, in the back of their house, or they've converted a garage or something and they've put it up kind mm-hmm. of like the on-demand car rental stuff.
So it's Airbnb for office space.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Work B&B. Cool. Yeah. It's called Radius. It's very cool. And I know people who, like, I know someone who works there, which is why I know about it. But like as an idea, it's also really nice because like I don't live near downtown Portland and I don't have to go all the way to downtown Portland in order to find co-working space. I don't have I don't have to worry about any of that. Like I could find something down the block, you know, I could bike there or, you know, walk and not have to do everything that involved, you know, getting the car and going somewhere and making sure I have everything and all that. Like it's not.
That's a good idea.
You're absolutely right. It's a local thing. And I think that's why it's so hard to do it globally, because the overhead, like it's not something where it's like, oh, if we can do 100 locations, then the overhead is less, like Starbucks, where it's like, okay, they can buy everything centrally. They can do everything centrally.
Right.
Like buy the machines, the equipment, like everything. And all you need is like, okay, you need the space. You need a little bit of equipment in there and some staff and everything is central.
Yeah.
Co-working spaces don't work that way. Like most of the cost is local. Like mm-hmm. someone has to, like if you have the lease, you have to the furniture, you have people there to like manage everything, power, like all of that, and very little is centrally. Like the app of it, it's not a lot of cost.
Yeah, and the bulk of that is not stuff you can centralize. You can't, you know.
That makes it hard, and that's why local works.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of big promises with poor follow through, Tom, What's the story that you brought? By the way, that's not a reference to Tom. It's a reference to his story, just to be clear.
Oh, good.
I thought it was his situation and the whole reason right. He's in an undisclosed location right now.
Okay, that applies too.
Yeah. So the reason I picked this story, it's about Google's Magic Editor. It's the thing that you can take photos on, you know, like on a Pixel phone and, you know, erase things, remove things from the background, mm-hmm. all that cool stuff, which I saw on reviews of the Pixel 8.
Yeah.
And there goes Tom's connection.
Google just killed this connection.
All the setup.
Yep.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like completely.
Am I back now?
Yeah, you're back.
We can hear you.
Back.
Okay. Damn it.
I was too slow. I wanted to take a screenshot of your face. It's frozen in a really funny place.
I killed the video. Can you hear me now, right?
Yes, we can hear you.
So, it looks like a really cool feature, and especially if you're in the FBI Witness Protection Program, it's good to have this feature. But seriously, at first I thought when I saw that feature, it's like, oh my God, this is fantastic. You know, you take a photo and you got some guy in the background that, you know, you took a picture of your family, you want to erase it, that would be great. And you can do it on Photoshop. I think we talked about in Lightroom a lot of the AI features a few weeks ago. They're really fantastic. But then, mm-hmm. of course, the next thing you think about is all the evil things you can do with these kind of features. And that's what this article is about. I guess Google is putting some guardrails on that.
Yeah, and how long until people figure out how to work around them?
By trying to, it sounds like they're hard coding in things that you cannot edit, like an
ID card
or faces.
Yeah, they've tried that with AI a couple of times, and people just, I mean, there's this whole prompt injection thing now where engineering, where people try to get around the guardrails and still do something that they shouldn't.
So I guess when I saw this article, I'm kind of happy they're thinking about putting the guardrails on there, but you know, how successful are they going to be with it? You know, so at least I have to give Google credit. I don't usually give Google credit for anything, but give them credit for this, for at least trying to minimize the nefarious things you could do with this new capability.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I mean, it says here, you can't edit photos of ID cards, of receipts, of other like official sort of documents that probably shouldn't. Human faces and body parts.
Yes, or body parts. As soon as there are body parts, I'm like, why? Oh.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're looking down, and then it just all of a sudden goes, whoa.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
The other thing I thought was cool about this story was how it was discovered. You know, it was basically somebody looking at source code, I guess. This is from Android Authority.
Mm-hmm.
That saw this code that sort of figured it out. And
mm-hmm.
I get, or maybe they just did a string dump on a binary. I'm not sure how they got this.
I mean, Android is based on Java from what I remember. So this is probably just a file somewhere that they found. This looks like XML, to be honest. So this is probably some XML file somewhere.
Yeah.
Happens all the time. People compare the content from one version to another to detect the things that have changed.
Yeah, you can diff them pretty easily. Mm-hmm. The thing, I'm glad that they're doing it. I'm not glad it took somebody discovering, hey, someone could use these powers for evil after it was released. Because
after it was used,
any sort of guardrail that they put on it now will be less effective than if it just simply had not been possible in the first place to come that way. And that's the reason it's a problem. Because people gonna people. And, the whole thing about build a good mousetrap and someone will sue you for killing all the mice. Isn't that how that goes? I forget. But, that's the part that is sort of frustrating, is that somebody, I mean, they don't really say how it was discovered that you can do this. So it would be, I'm sort of curious about how that, how it was discovered that people were using these powers for evil. But I'm glad that they are doing something about it. I just feel like it's another one of those things where maybe it should have been a conversation with anybody who's ever had experience with doctored photos to like
hey. on day one, maybe we should think about these
things. Yeah. What if we made a thing so that you could take people out of pictures? Okay. I have an ex-girlfriend who took a bunch of scissors to her photo album. Let me tell you a story about, uh-huh. you know, how that right. works, whatever. Like, I always, when stuff like this happens, like it comes out and then people are like, you know, the first thing I think of is like how somebody could do something terrible with that, because I've spent way too long helping people with technology. And it always sort of baffles me. Like, who are the people who looked at this and went, what could possibly go wrong? Ship it.
Right. Well, it is okay. Google, right? I'm sure they didn't. Yeah. You know, they're not really known for their rigorous production testing.
Yeah. Kelly, I can tell you who wrote the code and who approved it. Dude bros. Because,
well, yeah,
that's so true.
Because they're the people that aren't going yes. to think exactly. about the exactly. the bad implications of what they're doing.
No, it's only good that you can edit body parts with the magic editor.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah. All the dude bros I tested it with were happy. What's the
Yeah, they thought it was funny that I could put women's like whatever my girlfriend's face on porn. Like, yeah, that sounds right. fun, right?
That sounds fun.
That's exactly
Look,
how
I
that
turned
goes.
This woman into a personal flotation device.
yeah, that's exactly how that works.
Exactly. I asked three people at the bar last night. They all thought it was hilarious. Let's do it.
That's called a focus group, Kelly.
That's a good one, Tom.
Tom, when's
well
the
played,
internet today?
Sir. Yes.
Yeah, that's called a focus group, Kelly. That sounds like a show title to
that's
me.
That's a show title. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of them at least, yeah.
That is awesome. All right. Well, we can't top that. So let's switch topics. Dave, tell us about your story.
Yes. Well, this has been going on for, gosh, I think it's been 6 months. The SAG-AFTRA strike, which is the actors, actresses in Hollywood. So we basically haven't had any good TV shows for the whole fall. It's been crazy. I've been disappointed. I mean, I watched some of my favorite shows, but finally, they got a contract that they agreed on, and it was going back and forth, and they said this is their final offer, and then all of a sudden I said, oh my god, this is going to go on longer, and then all of a sudden the next day they have a proposed contract and it got ratified.
Yeah, they had a last final offer, last best final offer, yeah. And we're like, okay, we're not gonna, and the next sec after didn't go for it. They were like, nope, that's not it. And then all of a sudden it works.
Yeah. All of a sudden it works. So really what the sticking points was, and this is what the proposed contract is it's going to boost their minimum pay for members, going to increase residual payments for the streamings online, which I thought was absolutely crazy. All these actors not being paid for all the streaming, or they got a little more money
horrible.
Than that.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible. So I'm so glad to see that that's happening. It's going to bolster contributions to their union health and pension plans, which is great. Established rules for artificial intelligence. That was the other huge thing that hung us up. Was a major source of concern for the actors. I can't blame them one bit, because it's unprecedented in what AI can do. Where you can actually have a facsimile of yourself and do something that you didn't do, and then not get paid for it. So, mm-hmm. So they had provision for their consent as well as compensation that protects them from this threat of AI and. We're going to start seeing it more and more. You're going to steal. We're already fooled a lot of the things that goes on with AI at these times as it is. It's a big, huge thing that's here. This was history making. I mean, they in the 90 years of the SAG-AFTRA has existed, this is the longest strike that's ever occurred ever really. And I think this is a good thing that we could finally get folks. I mean, and we're not talking about all the big stars. You've got some starving actors out there that have been really suffering because they aren't making any money at all. And these aren't, you know, that's what we always think of actors and actresses. These are big stars, are making millions of dollars and No, there's your normal
most people. Yeah.
They're extras. They're starving actors mm-hmm. trying to get up and make it in Hollywood. Hollywood's a
or off camera, like a lot
yeah,
of
off camera, right?
You know, a lot of effects right. people or stunt people or you know, all of the crew folks that go into right. a production that you never ever see. All of that is also the folks. I know a few people who have been affected by one or both of these strikes, and
yeah, the writer's strike too.
Yeah, and when you are a mere mortal who does these kinds of jobs, you know, you're the person on the baseball team whose name nobody actually knows because you're not like the big name on the right. pro sports team. Like, you know, you're kind of that person, and there's a lot of people out there who, like, you know, this is how I make my living, and it is not exorbitant, and you know, and I've been benched this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's really been hard for a lot of people, but it's also been really important for a lot of people. So there's been, you know, a lot of like fundraising and stuff by people who do have more, you know, larger audiences and bigger influence to try and raise money to help everybody wait it out so that they could get something that was going to be reasonable, that was good, you know, for writers' rooms and about artificial intelligence and about, you know, streaming rights and payments and that sort of thing. And I'm really glad that they settled it. I know nobody was going to get everything they wanted out of it, but it was sort of nice to see that everybody who dug in to wait it out, because the offers they were getting were laughable, dug in and then waited it out. And then they finally right. got one that maybe wasn't laughable. So mm-hmm. I'm glad for it.
You probably learned a little from United Auto Workers, who were on strike against
right.
the auto workers. They held out and they finally got what they wanted. In fact, our President Biden is in the Chicago area where I am. That he's visiting a plant. They're going to reopen. Stellantis is going to open this place, and it was a plant that got shut down because of EV electric mm-hmm. vehicles. Now they're going to make it a battery plant and an EV plant. So, you know, so some good things came out of that strike, but I'm glad to see it. I mean, I think everybody's going to be super happy when all their favorite TV shows are finally going to come back on.
Not anytime soon.
Yeah, it's going to take a while.
To some extent, some stuff might get released because now the actors can start promoting stuff again because that was right. banned.
If
it gets approved, like it's not fully like approved yet.
And movies, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's stuff like stuff. That. But then, but then the production is going to start, and that's going to take a while. Like
a lot of catch up. They may just cancel seasons and just start all over again next in the fall. So
there is mm-hmm. some stuff that's been held, like a lot, you know, things that have a lot of graphics and stuff in them. Like that stuff has all been shot and sitting waiting because they didn't want to release anything until anyone could go on TV and talk about it. So
yeah.
a lot of that too. I think it sort of feels like one of the side effects of the pandemic is a lot of people realizing that they don't have to take it from the man anymore.
Right.
And that if Absolutely. We all get together, we can stick it to the man. And I am 100% here for that. So,
yeah, it's kind of the year of the it's kind of the year of the comeback of unions this year. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
So, a good story to bring in here. We've got some happy people now.
I agree. I think that's awesome. Much like TSO Host is awesome.
Yes.
And what is it that makes TSO Host awesome? Well, first, they're not going to put your website on strike because they they do solid web hosting. And they make it easy to get your account set up and choose what you need. And if you need help, they make that easy too. And it's just super reliable. Why does this make me happy? Well, because they're taking what they do so well and they are giving that back to the community by being here to support the British Tech Network. What does that mean? Well, specifically what that means is they give us the bandwidth we need so we can live stream shows every single week. They give us the hosting space we need so that there's a British Tech Network website for you to go to and find all your shows. And they give us the server space we need to host all of the recordings so you can watch and listen to your favorite episodes again and again and again. And seriously, who wouldn't want to rewatch an episode where I fumble through trying to tell you about the chat rooms? I mean, seriously, that's like comedy gold right there. So they're being incredibly generous. And when I say that, I'm not exaggerating at all, because the resources it takes to do all of that, it's beyond what we would be able to make happen. And they are just very generously giving that to us so that we can be here for you. We really appreciate them. And thank you, TSO hosts. And I've said this before, yet I'm going to say it again. I just thanked them here on the show. Since all of you don't have a microphone in front of you like I do right now, you don't have the opportunity here on the show live to say thank you, TSO hosts. So what all of you need to do is go out onto your favorite social media and thank them there. That's like your own personal little microphone that you keep on a phone in your pocket or on a computer screen in front of you. So please go give them some online love. Thank TSO hosts for being here and supporting us. And if by chance at some point you come up with an awesome domain name and a website, give them a shot, because we're showing every single day how solid they are. Go buy your domain name through them. You're going to get a good deal. They make it easy to get your domain name picked out. And then if you want to add a website, go do it. Throw that in your cart. Then add the discount code BTN20, and you're going to get 20% off your order, which is super generous. So thank you, TSO hosts, for being here and supporting us. And thank you for giving the BTN family a nice little deal as well. And here's the part where I get to sit back and be happy that I don't have to do it, because I will screw it up. Patrice, can you please help me with the whole thing about the live chat?
Yeah, of course I can. So we have a really cool live chat, which you can join very easily anytime we're recording, which we're doing every week on Thursday for the big show. Usually Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time, whatever time that is in your place of the world. That's what when you have to join. And you join the chat room at chat.britishtechnetwork.com. And then you can talk to us live. You can see all the links that we post, like the stories we're talking about, anything extra that we're talking about. Like, for example, we posted some stuff about the We Crashed show and the like Radius Pro, for example, what Kelly mentioned, and so on. Like, all the links are in our live chat. You can just get to that. You can talk to us. You can talk to other people that are listening, like all of the good stuff. So if you are, let's say you're listening to this or watching this in the recorded form on the website, on like your favorite podcast player of choice, on like wherever that is, wherever you find our stuff and you enjoy it, totally fine. You, of course, cannot join the live chat anymore because that's gone. We've recorded it, we've posted it, it's done. Like, unless you have a time machine, wibbly wobbly, timey wimey, all of that doesn't work that way. You can still get to all the links. Like, we have a really cool bot in our chat. And no, it's not Chuck. It's the BTN chatbot. And if you go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, there is a little calendar that asks you very nicely for a date. And if you put in a date, like, for example, the date we're recording this show today, which is the 9th of November, 2023, then you will see everything that we talked about, which is, yeah, it's really cool. Everything's there, all the links, everything we talked about, it's all there, and forever you can see it. And I checked, you can go back to 2015.
Wow.
And still get all the chat transcripts. So I saw it on the server, 2015. So everything we ever said, however broken that was, still on the server.
Back when we were all just kids.
Yes. Maybe we should just pick a random date, like just go back to some random date and see what we talked about that. That would be fun. Maybe that's a summer of fun episode where we just do that.
Take lines from previous shows. Mm-hmm. Who said this?
Oh, that would be so good. Oh my god, that would be so good.
I love this idea.
Me too.
And if it's something that sounds absolutely bonkers insane, then Kelly, you actually would be my second choice for that. First choice would always be Greeny.
Oh, fair. Yeah, I'll give you that one.
It could have been you and or us. So.
That's true, but when it's just completely way out there.
When it's full on, like, yeah.
It's Greeny's always a safe bet. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely, yes.
Yes.
Oh, Patrice, thank you for doing that. Because you do it so well. And and now it's time for the cool thing. And Patrice, you actually have the first cool thing here.
Yes, I do. So it's another podcast. It's from, I don't know, you might know her from some other stuff that she's been on the last couple decades. Mayim Bialik. She's a really, really, I mean, really good actress, really good like person, I think. She's been Big Bang Theory. She's been on what's the show where she was Blossom?
Blossom.
It was just Blossom.
Blossom. Oh, it's Blossom.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Yeah.
I was like, I couldn't remember. Yeah. So Blossom. She's been on plenty of other stuff, and she has a really cool podcast. It's called Breakdown, where she interviews people about different topics. Like sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's fun, sometimes like she's had a lot of like really interesting people on the podcast recently. And it's said it's always like it's always interesting. And I really when I see it, I look forward to listening to what she has to say. She's really smart, she's a really interesting person. She's very open about a lot of things. That aren't working. I mean, she has the neuroscience background, which helps her. She has a PhD in that. So she can explain things. But she's also humble enough to say, well, I don't know everything. I mean, she's not like, oh, I know everything. No, like she's like, well, I have what I learned, but doesn't mean that I know everything. Mm-hmm. So it's just, as I said, it's really good. And looking at like some of the guests, like, we had Jack Osborne from, might remember The Osbournes, for example. Osborne, yeah. She had recently Jada Pinkett Smith. It's really interesting. Bob Odenkirk, for example. Ben Stiller. Gary Halliwell, like from the Spice Girls. Like just really, I mean, she has the connections. So she has, but yeah. Those are not like puff pieces or someone promoting their latest book or whatever. No, they talk about serious stuff on those shows. Like that's like age, for example, or addiction or egos or yeah, like problems that you might have. So it's serious stuff. It's not like a typical like marketing thingy. So it's good. A really good show, really interesting, and it's free. So you can listen to it when you're done with this show.
Right. That's awesome. I'm sorry. I'm just sitting here looking at the list of people that she's had on, and holy crap! I just need to spend the rest of the day listening.
Yeah, there's I don't know how many episodes. There's a lot. I haven't gone back all the way back. I only started, so well, been going on a while. I think it was one of those pandemic things that she started.
And I'm glad it's still going. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, as long as we're going highbrow, Tom, tell us about your cool thing.
My cool thing is using hardwired internet when I'm at home instead of the Wi-Fi here that keeps dropping up. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Retro pick. I like it.
No, my pick is a podcast. It's called Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And it's a so very, good. Very popular NPR show.
Yeah.
National Public Radio here in the U.S. And it's definitely not new. It's an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of forgotten about it because I, you know, in the olden days before podcasts, I used to listen to live radio. You remember live radio? And it was on a time where I could listen almost every Saturday. And then I just sort of lost track of it over the last 3 or 4 years. And I picked it up again about 3 weeks ago. It's like, man, I really miss this show. Why wasn't I listening to it? So it's basically a quiz show with comedians, and it's super funny. And they have one celebrity guest each week.
One celebrity guest, and also one like random one person that they call, like call not in. Random, yeah, like yeah. It's a call in. It's someone who knows for sure that they're on, but they get to also answer some questions. Like, it's really fun. I don't remember it from the olden days because we didn't have that in Germany back then. But we did have radio, but we didn't have this. I discovered it many, many, many years ago, and it's really good. And I like the end. It's always, and if any of that happens, then you will hear about this. That's on right. The show.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. It's a really good show. They've had some really good people.
The most recent one I listened to, the celebrity guest was Bernie Taupin.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I guess he just wrote a book. It was really cool to hear him talk. You know, you hear Elton John interviewed all the time. You don't hear Bernie Taupin very much.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it, how randomly they kind of connected because they both applied for a job at the same time, basically.
Yeah, they were basically, it was a matchmaker that put them together. Uh-huh.
He just got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, too. I just watched that the other night.
Oh, nice.
Oh, did he really? Oh, cool.
On his own for being a lyricist.
Oh, that's great.
It was nice. They showed a clip when Elton was inducted, and he said, you know, I wouldn't, there's absolutely no way I would be here if it were not for Bernie. So it was really nice to see. Yeah. But of course, he was suitably like embarrassed about everybody making a big deal about him, which I
for sure. Yeah. My favorite in Wait, Don't Tell Me is always the three completely ridiculous stories.
Yeah,
and then you're like, okay, any of them, none of them make sense. Any of them could be true. Like, which one is it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm a big Wait fan.
Yeah. If you like the live radio show vibe, there's one that's local to me that is also available on public radio, and I think they release the episodes later, called Livewire. And it's at livewireradio.org. There'll be a link in the show notes, and it's a lot of fun.
I've heard 85 episodes. Very nice.
Yeah. And nice. It's that one's a fun show. I've been to a few recordings because they record it here in town, and I've gone a few times and I listen to it the rest of the time, and it's a lot of fun. It's another like live thing. Like, they have, you know, bands on to come play a song, and then they like interview people about different interesting things they do and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome.
To check that one out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's still staying highbrow. Dave, tell us about your cool thing.
Speaking of highbrow, yes. This is a movie that it stars Sylvester Stallone, of course, the Rocky and Rambo fame. It's not only does it star him, it's a documentary about him, and he is telling his story throughout the documentary. It's interesting the way I just saw this movie a couple days ago, and interesting to see a movie as a documentary, because you're normally used to in a second or third person where someone else is telling the story, and then he's interviewed. No, he's telling the story from start to finish about his life, his career.
Oh.
And it made me really think. I mean, everybody kind of chuckles. Some people don't like Rocky. Some people like Rocky. And that's really where his big claim to fame came. And I like Rocky. But not only did he star in it, he was the writer. He was the director. I mean, he had absolute full control. And it was unheard of during that time, especially when the first Rocky came out. I was going back, oh my God, 1976, when that movie came out and won Best Picture.
It won Oscars, and he had a hard time getting it made because they didn't. Nobody understood how he wanted to be the one to do everything.
Right.
And then talking about how he rewrote things. I don't want to spoil it, but I mean, it's well known what he's done. But
the story of the film is of that one anyway is pretty well.
It really is. And then you know, going from that to Rambo, to The Expendables, to all the other shows he's done, he's written and he's produced, and he's done some crazy stuff too. If I seem to remember a good movie with him and Dolly Parton, and many other crazy movies. But I think, you know, it really gained me respect of him, and just his passion about writing and acting and wanting to make a good movie, it's a really good documentary. I at first it was getting a lot kind of slow, and I was like kind of thinking, oh my God, I'm gonna have to sit and listen to him for the next hour and a half. But no, it was really interesting to see, and I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix. So if you have to have Netflix, of course, to see it. But yeah, I think you check it out. I was thoroughly impressed with it.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So Kelly.
Yes.
Are we staying highbrow or not?
I don't know. This is a gift idea I have for people. Mm. Obviously it will not be for me because I have these, I just bought them. Even though my birthday is next week, and my mom usually will send me a little bit of cash for my birthday. So I went to the website Optimistical Studios and I bought a couple of things there because they are cool and I really like them. And they make what they make is like they have some pins and some buttons and things, but specifically they make jewelry for particular fandoms. So I got a really cool pair of Botleth earrings.
If you can. Okay, that's cool.
But they are straight up Klingon weapons of war, but they're cute and dangly and silver, and I love them. And so those are amazing, but they pale in comparison. Are you ready? To the other pair of earrings I bought from them, which are TARDIS.
No.
Now wait. Because if you look really close at the top, see the little bit at the top there? Oh, these MFers light up, y'all.
Oh wow.
Ugh,
light.
Wow.
That's so cool.
The bottom pops out and you tuck a little battery in there and they are light up TARDIS earrings. I am here to tell you. They are amazing. I'm so excited. Like I'm like when I got the package and I opened them in person, I am so excited about them. They make me so happy. Just to live in a world where they exist was nice. But then I went there and but then I found out they had them back in stock and now I have my own pair and I'm so excited about them. I need you to know. Anyway, so I got these. They have a number of great things. They have some really nicely designed pronoun buttons if you need that for, you know, social events and stuff. There's Pokemon ones. There's Doctor Who, other Doctor Who things. There's some game ones in there that I didn't recognize. But they have all kinds of fandoms and they make all kinds of stuff to represent those. And so they're a lot of fun and I really like their stuff. So there you go.
I love the name of the company, Optimistical. What a great name.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like little silver TARDISes. They have rings. There's
I like how they worked around Star Wars copyrights.
Yeah.
With Galactic Saga.
Galactic Saga stuff. Yeah. So the Galactic Saga prayer candle was the rest of my order, by the way. Yeah, they also have a banner on the top that says time and space, you know, with a very particular shade of blue as the background. I think they are delightful. They have like some D&D jewelry and some other things like that that are really cool and they're interesting and different. And it's like, I think it's two people that do stuff there and they're super cool. So, enjoy them.
That's very cool.
Very nice.
I like them. And I like them a lot. Like the, you know, all of the stuff that they've had there, all of the other stuff I've seen that I have yet to purchase is really nifty. And they've got like some like a wide variety of stuff. Like there's, you know, literature things, like there's some, you know, like with authors on them and stuff that are also, you know, kind of neat. So if you know somebody that's kind of hard to buy for, you can definitely find something here that they won't already have. So.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Oh, they have an adult section, 18 and over.
Jeff.
That is why I knew I was recommending it on the right show.
I'm looking forward to checking out the wide range of products that they offer. Cool. Okay.
Okay, I have a lot of cool stuff.
So my cool thing is a book. and it's called Accidental Intelligence. This is by our good friend Brian Chaffin. All right. He has his first sci-fi book out. Well, it's available for pre-order right now as we record, and it'll deliver on November 14th. And it's super cheap. It's only in the US, $4.99. And here's the deal. For me, it's a special book because I've been able to watch the whole process from when Brian first started writing the book all the way through to where we are today, where he actually has the book available for pre-order. And the premise is it's in the future, and it's kind of a dystopian-ish future. And you have a bunch of hyper-intelligent AI systems that work in concert with humanity. But there's something that's going on kind of behind the scenes. And one of the AIs reaches out to this private investigator and says, "Hey, I need your help. We have to stop this bad thing. And we only have a few days to do it. And if they fail, that's the end of humanity." So it's a really fun read. And keep in mind, Brian wrote this whole thing before the ChatGPT hype started. So for me, it's interesting to see the sorts of things that he was talking about when he was writing the book, and how some of the things actually are kind of pertinent right now too. But it's a fun read, and you think you know where the book is taking you. You don't know where the book is taking you.
Good. Now we need the audiobook version read by Jeff and Brian.
I at risk of saying something that maybe isn't public knowledge, but well, it is now. I know Brian is working on having a audiobook version of this.
Wow, nice.
Ooh,
that will be awesome.
So yeah, it's a
That's
fun book.
Pretty fun. That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
And I've read multiple iterations of this book over the years. And yes, even though I have multiple versions, probably the current version of the book already, I've already dropped my $4.99 to get it. Nice. The link that I dropped into the chat is for Amazon, because that was just the easiest way for me to buy it. But you can get it on Apple Books and Barnes & Noble Books.
I put the page link in the live chat, Jeff. Yeah.
And awesome. I put the Goodreads link in, because that's usually the most convenient way to get to whatever store you want it in.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. At the bottom of the website page, there's just like a button for Apple Books and Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and Apple Books. And I figured if you clicked on it wherever you are, it would take you to the right place.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
All right. So I'm looking forward to hearing what everyone thinks about Accidental Intelligence. All right. So with that, it is now time to wrap up the show.
Okay.
And I will start the whole wrap-up process by saying thank you. All of you are awesome. I love all of you, and if we were in the same place, I'd be giving each one of you consensual hugs right now.
Consensual.
That are slightly longer than, you know, than it got.
Yeah, and they'll be, and they'll be just long enough to feel slightly awkward. Yeah. But seriously, I love that I get to spend part of my Thursday with all of you, part of my Friday with all of you. It is truly a treat. And today's a special treat because we have people here with us on the big show that we typically don't get to see here. And for those of you that aren't picking up what I'm putting down, I'm talking about Dave. I'm talking about Kelly. So this is awesome. Kelly, where can people find you?
Generally, you can find me on Mastodon, where I am at Verso, at mastodon.social. You can occasionally find me over on the Incomparable Podcasting Network, where we talk about all kinds of different things. There's a lot of pop culture shows over there, and I show up on some of them. Tis the season to recommend an episode we did called The Upstairs Christmas Tree that was a bunch of panelists talking about traditions at their house, you know, from where they lived. We just did an episode of a game show where we all played a game called Careers from the 1950s.
Oh my God, yeah.
Over the podcast. it is a fantastic episode. I show up a lot on the game show feed because I'm all enthusiasm and no technique, and so sometimes that works really well in my favor. You can also find me on I Want My MCU TV over there, which when we are able to bring that back, we'll make a triumphant return. You can listen to me, Lisa Melton, Lisa Schmeiser, and Nathan Alderman talk about Marvel television shows. And you can find me on the After Show podcast with Mike and Kelly. Apparently I'm turning into Jeff. I have a lot of and the rest of the time you can basically find me looking up places I can wear my light up TARDIS earrings now.
Well, that's Ellie, easy.
You can
every
wear
place.
Them across the whole of time and space.
Exactly.
This is my hope.
Yes. Yeah. Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. We're going to actually be recording the show tomorrow to celebrate my birthday.
Yes.
With everybody here and Ben and Chuck, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And we had a full house, Kelly. I would have had you coming. It's also going to be at 1:30, so it might be tough for you.
For your birthday, I would make time for that, David. You know that.
Okay. Well, maybe we could squeeze you. And so we also find me on YouTube at youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm here. I'm usually on the Mac Show on Fridays. I'm on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights, as well as I'm on Mastodon at DaveG65 at Mastodon.club.
Thanks. Awesome. And I'm looking forward to your big birthday bash tomorrow.
It should be fun.
Me too.
I expect it'll be a lot of fun. All right. So for everyone that's watching live or is hearing this before they go check out the recording of In Touch with iOS, happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Okay, Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social. That's the best place. And thanks, everybody, for putting up with my networking issues today. I apologize.
You were a trooper. Despite all of the technology being against you, you still managed to make it to the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I only had to log into the chat room 4 times, I think.
Only 4 times. Not bad.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me here every week on The Big Show on Thursdays on this network, and also on Fridays on The Mac Show if you want to learn more about what's going on the Apple side of things. You can find everything that I'm doing, all the like the social media links, the podcast, the projects, literally everything, all of that on my website, thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food and food-related stories and memories and just everything that goes with that, then I have an interview podcast called Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com for you.
Awesome. All right. And
Patrice,
if you haven't
has amazing
checked out
guests on that show.
Mm-hmm.
There are loads and loads of fascinating people, and also Kelly.
A few of us.
Right.
All of you, actually.
Wow. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Okay. Then for me, Jay Gamet on the various social medias. I'm most active right now on Mastodon and Instagram, and I'm working on being more active on Threads. And then for shows, Tuesdays, Chuck Joyner keeps letting me on Mac Voices Live. Thursdays, except this week, tomorrow on Friday, Dave keeps letting me on In Touch with iOS. And I seriously don't know if this is a contractual obligation for some sort of legal, personal, or religious penance, or or if both of you are just gluttons for punishment. I don't know. But thank you. And then on the British Tech Network here on Thursdays for the Big Show, Fridays for the Mac Show. And then Brian Chaffin and I, yes, the same Brian Chaffin that wrote Accidental Intelligence, we record The Context Machine most every week as well. All right. So with that, thank you again to all of you for being so awesome and putting a smile on my face. Every single one of you rocks. Everyone that's watching or listening live, thank you for being here. Everyone that participates in the chat room, thanks for being part of that as well. All of you that watch or listen to the shows after they're recorded, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. All of you, every single one of you rocks. And thank you to TSO Host for being here and supporting us, giving them some online love, people. Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And with that, don't forget about the Daily News Show. Check that out because it is absolutely fantastic, and throw some money towards that show so it keeps going. With that, join us next Thursday for the Big Show. Don't forget diction, words, English is a difficult language. Don't forget to join us tomorrow for the Mac Show, and everyone have an awesome weekend.